Joining me now is Robert Stump, a project management specialist at the Bureau of Reclamation. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning. Thanks.
And also Sam Carter. He's the program and outreach coordinator with the Dolores River Boating Advocates. Welcome, Sam.
Thanks. Good morning.
So it's my understanding that there are regular meetings that include both of your respective groups among other representatives. Robert, just to start with you, what's the general discussion that takes place meeting to meeting when everybody's involved?
Well, in preparation for a meeting, the Dolores Water Conservancy District and myself with Reclamation get together almost on a daily basis and go over the Colorado Basin River Forecast Center forecasts, and we'll develop different scenarios, and then we'll present those at weekly meetings with the DRBA and other representatives. And we'll go over those scenarios and try to target what's good for boating and good for ecology and biology downstream, plan our operations for that week based on the best case scenario that seems to meet all the objectives while meeting, you know, the project requirements. And then on a weekly basis, we'll update that and continue working, you know, as we're doing a spill.
And Sam, I'd like to hear a bit about what the DRBA's role is at being at these meetings.
Well, our role is to, as best we can, represent recreation boating and help and sit there and have a voice and discuss these forecasts that Robert's talking about, the really intricate, excellent forecasts that give us an idea of how much water will come out of the mountains in the next 7 days and also over the course of the entire month. And we talk about what it looks like, what can we do with that water, what kind of flows can be established. And the other part that I think is really important to say is that the other players at the table in there, the Nature Conservancy has a representative. They're talking about ecology, health of the riparian zone. Colorado Parks and Wildlife has Jim Whitecombs, and he is the specialist on fish. He does all kinds of work with native and invasive fish species in the Dolores, and so his input is critical around temperatures of the river and not flushing out freshly laid eggs from these fish. So we're working on that detail. And also American Whitewater is there, and they're also a recreation boater advocate. So all of us together are working to discuss how that excess water can best be crafted to meet all the desires, the recreation, but also the ecology and the riparian and the fish health. And really, the recreation boater, our view is that comes first, the ecology comes first, and typically whatever's laid down, whatever kind of flow is laid down, recreation can have a great time on top of that water. Sometimes it's a little low, but typically once it's up and running, we're having a great time on it.
Yeah, I wanted to expand a bit on that last thought. So you have a bit of a collaboration, I guess you could call it. So, you know, a number of different long-term and short-term goals coming into play here. How do the weights of those different goals come into play as you're reaching for that compromise between the different groups?
Well, I would say from Reclamation's point of view, Reclamation has commitments with the project for whitewater rafting and for biology downstream of the dam. And usually you can accomplish, you know, several goals at the same time, you know, with different flow regimes, you know, that satisfies recreation, meets our commitments for whitewater rafting and for downstream biology and temperature suppression and spawning needs for the fish.
So that way it's not just, here's one thing we're going to do, this is what we're going to stick with for a couple weeks. You kind of pass around to figure out what goals you're going to accomplish, you know, one day versus the next, right?
Yeah, within the operating parameters for the project, you know, which primarily is filling the reservoir and providing irrigation water and municipal and industrial water, we have a lot of flexibility. You know, we can time the spill, you know, start releases a little early, hit flow targets, and, you know, try to meet a lot of those objectives by, you know, the flexibilities that we have within managing the spill.
Has this collaboration always taken place as far as the greater history of McPhee? Or is this a more recent thing to have so many people at play here and working on the best compromise?
I would say historically, no, it wasn't at the level it is now. And that's something we're really pleased with at DRBA. And I think that the guys and the gals on the side of the consumptive users feel the same, that we sit at the table and we really talk about how to best meet everyone's needs. For a long time, it wasn't there. In fact, what would happen is there would be a kind of periodic announcement through the water district's website, and it would be this Excel spreadsheet that you had to read this one really fine line of how much water would come out. But that could change without it being updated on the website. People would not know what was going on. There was a lot of unclarity. And we've all worked together really hard to change that. And so now the water district produces a narrative, a written multi-paragraph statement that comes out on Tuesdays and Thursdays, sometimes mm-hmm. Wednesday night. But these are messages to the public that we are all involved in creating, all these players at the table. We all sit together and create this message. As the boating advocate representative, we believe you can trust that message because we all sit there and write that thing together. And the guys at DWCD know they have to stick with that once it's out. And that's why it comes out twice a week, so there can be some flex in it. But that type of committed messaging did not happen in the past. And it wasn't at anyone's fault. It was just the nature of the social media has played a huge role in it, actually, the way we can publicize these messages. Because it used to be that there would be a public meeting in the spring, and it was kind of just guess over the next couple months based on some information. But now with social media, public information on the websites, we can get a lot more information out there quick.
Yeah, and I wanted to go back to pre-Memorial Day weekend, which of course was when the spill had ramped up to 1,200 CFS. People were getting excited. And on the public's end, you know, you see the dates, you see the numbers, but I'd like to hear a bit from each of your perspectives as you were preparing and you saw, okay, the forecast is becoming increasingly favorable. This is going to happen. This is how long it's going to last. From your perspectives, I imagine there was quite a bit of a buzz happening between your different groups. What were those exchanges, those conversations looking like as you knew, okay, this is going to happen this year?
You know, we put out kind of a question, you know, how important is Memorial Day? You know, so we solicited feedback about Memorial Day. And, you know, as we got closer, you know, inflows really slowed down and we weren't hitting the expected reservoir elevation targets to start the releases. But we did, you know, through talking to everybody, sense that Memorial Day was pretty important and a lot of people were already planning on it. So we went ahead and stayed with releasing on Memorial Day. So we released a 1200 CFS, you know, and then of course now we ramp back down a little bit to allow the reservoir to reach those elevation targets before we ramp back up again. So yeah, it's definitely a collaborative process.
And Sam, I saw you were smiling a bit when I asked that question. What were you thinking about in that moment?
Well, there's a lot of thoughts. You know, you asked if there was a buzz. I think that was your question, and there was. There was a lot of excitement from the boating community that there's going to be a spill because at the end of last season, you know, last fall, I don't think anyone expected such a great amount of water in the mountains. So there's excitement. The Dolores below the dam is an amazing place to spend time on the river. The reason I'm really smiling is because there's this huge amount of water and all of a sudden it's cold and it's snowing and it's raining and we're getting closer and closer to the spill. And we're talking about this might not be the best time to do this spill. It'd be great to actually not do it, but we've publicized that we're going to do it over Memorial Day. So we have to stick with it, which goes back to that piece around trusting that messaging that's coming off of the website. We had to stick with that.
And that's a big part of our collaboration because, you know, the forecast isn't a crystal ball, you know, so we couldn't have anticipated the cooler weather, how long it was going to stick around and how low the river inflows were going to get into the dam. So, you know, coordinating weekly allowed us to flesh that out as we went and, you know, establish strategies as we went that responded to, you know, what nature was actually doing.
Robert Stump is a project management specialist with the Bureau of Reclamation, and Sam Carter is the program and outreach coordinator with the Dolores River Boating Advocates. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks.